Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
I'm actually excited about the Giants.
Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Final score tonight here in Denver. The Nuggets win 119-115. And the Warriors' losing streak is now five, and they have three tough home games upcoming against Houston and Minnesota to try to right themselves and get themselves out of this funk. And it's not going to be easy.
Oh, baby. It's going to be a show. 888-957-9570. Light them up. Light them up. Light them up. I'm in a cranky mood. I'm very, very cranky this morning. I just warned everybody. That loss ticked me the hell off. That I come into the studio, we're talking about some damn golden at-bat, and I'm even ticked off even more because these young punks want to change the game of baseball because hey, everything's not good enough, but I'm ticked off. I'm ticked off because the Warriors now, in their last 10 games, are 4-6. Started off 10-2. You're blowing double-digit leads once again. You're up 11 with 6 minutes of change left, and you find a way to lose another basketball game. You saw it against Brooklyn. You saw it against San Antonio. You saw it against OKC where you couldn't score, couldn't make a basket. You missed 14 straight shots down the stretch. And then last night, you just saw it coming. The end of the first half, you're rolling 54-42. Oh, you're playing beautiful basketball. And boom, Denver goes into halftime on a 15-3 run. 15-3 run, and it's a tie basketball game. But you know what? You're feeling good because Denver has shot the lights out in the first half. And then you get back into the game. The bench plays so well in the beginning of the fourth quarter, scoring 21 points. You go on a 21-6 run to open up the fourth quarter. You open up a lead. The kids are playing well. Potts, Kuminga, Moody showing you flashes, playing desperate. And you lose. You lose. 119-115. You lost 8 straight games to the Denver Nuggets. You lost 11-12 to Denver. You lost 5 in a row overall. So I don't give a damn about the Emirates NBA Cup right now, whether or not you're in a knockout stage. I'm ticked off this morning. I'm damn cranky because I need a damn win in my life. And last night, just, it's frustrating as hell, man. It is. I'm not gonna do a sugarcoat job this morning. Not going to do it. But the rhetoric and the dialogue I was looking at last night took it to another level, and I think people are missing the bigger picture, which I'll get to in a second, but I want to hear from Shasky, man. Good morning.
Can I go? You know what? I'm just giving Spadoni, fill some time here. I got to get up. I'm going to put my headphones down. Bonte, I think you need a hug. I'm coming over to give you a hug.
No, I don't need a hug. It's not that serious.
I'm going to give you a hug.
Get off of me. No, I don't need a hug. I don't need a hug. It's baby Texas' birthday. I'm fine. I don't need a hug.
I love you. I love you. You're good. We're good.
I don't get it. I'm fine.
We're going to be okay. All right, now I'm angry.
It's okay. Your video is the one. I think you need to hug.
What did I do?
The smile on Bonte's face made that worth it.
Well, exactly.
I don't need a hug.
What did I do?
It's fine.
You do need a hug. What did I do?
I'm fine.
Look, this, all right, should I just, because I was going to play salt and pepper. If you were going to be salty, I'd be peppery and spicy. But instead, let's just both be bad cops.
Just be
so
you.
Here we go. No, honestly. Like the three-play sequence with Pajemski. He takes a horrific three-pointer. Then he throws a cross-court.
Well, it was a step back over Jokic. Shot clock was running down. I'm not sure what else he was supposed to do in that situation.
Shot
clock's running down.
Fine. Then he threw a horrific pass into the 10th row. Okay. Then he fouls a three-point shooter. And after doing it earlier in the game and getting chastised by Steve Kerr on the floor, I just... Moody was cooking in that game. He comes out. I know you got to go to different guys. And Moody made such a great backdoor pass to GP2. And I guess I'm just flummoxed with this team. Like, Kuminga showed so many flashes in this game, and then late in the game, he tries to give the ball up, and nobody really wants the ball, and he tries to go at Jokic, which I actually commend him for, because someone's got to try to make a play there late in the game, and he just gets blocked going up with it. The Looney foul that wasn't a foul?
It's tough.
No, that was a horrible call because Jamal Murray's out of control, leaning in, baiting to try to get a foul to go to the free throw line because he can't hit ocean if he fell out of a boat in the middle of the Pacific. And it was a sequence of things that happened late in that game. And then obviously Brown flumming like a fish out of water on the ground.
It was a travel.
I did too. And then he's calling timeout, and you can see Gordon.
It's tough because you don't see the full timeout.
Gordon is literally like, don't call timeout. And Steve Kerr's losing his mind. And you know what? I got originally mad at Steve Kerr, but then I watched his post-game presser and he explained himself. And I was like, you know what? Good on Steve Kerr for blasting the refs. And I know we can always point to the finger at the referees, but I thought there were some very specific calls late in that game and some non-calls that really went against the Warriors in that one. And their own late-game execution, once again... Steph Curry, horrible turnovers.
It failed them.
And they missed Draymond.
It was 119. Excuse me, it was 108, 109 to 98.
They lost that 11.
Game. You're up 11 with 6 minutes to change that. So even after the Pods foul, so everybody was losing their minds about the sequence, and it wasn't a great sequence.
It just felt very
momentum-ish. I want to remind some people, you're not in that game. If Kuminga and Podziemski doesn't show up for the first half.
You're not even in that basketball game. That was one of his best games in a while.
These kids played hard yesterday.
I agree.
The bigger picture, and let's just be real, and we're going to talk about this game. The Loon foul was terrible because you fouled him out with that call. It was terrible. He had 11 rebounds.
Yeah, he was battling.
Loon's playing some good basketball.
He had some huge offensive rebounds.
Playing some really good basketball right now. And you made Jokic a score. You took down the limited. You tried to limit the assists, but they ended up with 32 anyway because what the Warriors were doing was doubling Jokic, and they were doubling off the cutter. They were doubling off the guy making the cut. And Jokic is like, oh, really? I'm going to make the easy pass. You got to change up the schemes.
The Gordon
here.
Dunk was
my
too
biggest
easy.
Issue, there's a couple things here. We'll get to Steph and Draymond in just a second because there's a long-term picture here that I think people need to be worried about, and we're kind of – we're looking at somebody to blame and use scapegoats or whatnot. The scheme down the stretch. All right. You don't have Kevin Durant anymore. You don't have Klay Thompson in his prime. You don't have a prime Draymond Green. You don't have a prime Stephen Curry. You have some youngsters who are trying to learn how to win in the NBA. Potts, Moody, Kuminga. You have Wiggins back, but somehow, some way, he only shoots 7 times yesterday. I have no idea how that happens. But he was playing some really good defense on Jamal Murray. I think down the stretch, and Mully said it last night on the post-game show, and I've been thinking this for quite some time when you have some youngsters here. Sometimes you have to simplify the game. And when this is a conversation we actually had 2 years ago when they had that 5-game road trip when they lost in Charlotte, Detroit, Miami, Orlando, and then New Orleans. And when you put the kids in the game, sometimes you can't run motion offense to read and react. Sometimes I think it's just good to just run a set and run a play and attack somebody, whether it's Murray, whether it's Jokic, involve them in a ball screen, high pick and roll, I don't know. But sometimes you need to just run a set with these kids. And I get it, Pods is in his second year. Kuminga's in his fourth year. Moody's in his fourth year. They didn't play much their rookie years. So just running a set down the stretch when you need a bucket, and you need to say, all right, we need to slow down the game. Instead of running read and react, because what happened at the end of the game was just Steph 1-on-1. And you can't win like that. Or you end up with Gary Payton II shooting a three. And Gary Payton II played hard yesterday. He was 5-of-5 up to that point, 11 points.
He hit a huge corner three.
He hit a corner, but also at the same time, he's shooting 17% from three. So the percentages are not gonna favor him. So sometimes you just need to run a set. And I think over this 5-game losing streak, whether it's Brooklyn, OKC, San Antonio, Phoenix, just run a set and get into a play and run a simple play to try to get a good shot. And right now they're not doing that down the stretch. I think that needs to be maybe a tweak. And I'm no coach. Steve Kerr knows a lot more about basketball than I do. But it just looks like just running a set and getting something simple to help this team play. So, anyway, I think you get outscored the last. You don't even score the last 2.5 minutes. You get outscored 21-6 in the last 6 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
But just run a set. And I think that would help alleviate a lot of issues down the stretch.
Well, okay. Your point is one that I've been kind of screaming from the mountaintops for, feels like forever. When you have Kyrie or Luka or Kevin Durant, right? Yeah, you ever get the hell out of the way. We're like, let him do his thing. He's going to cook in the half court. In that game yesterday, where it feels like Wiggins hasn't touched the ball on offense for like five or six possessions, why are you not trying to throw him the ball on the block? Hey, everyone get out of the way. Let's get Curry out on the wing. Let's post up Andrew Wiggins. Let's get him a touch.
What about Kuminga?
Or Kuminga.
Kuminga's having a hell of a game. They have no matchup for him. He's blown by everybody. Run the two-man game with Kuminga.
Well, it felt like that Kuminga went to set a high screen on one possession for Curry, and they tried to do some sort of downhill thing. But to Denver's credit, they kind of stymied him. They know, hey, he's trying to get downhill. And he got caught in no man's land, and the shot clock's winding down, and nobody wanted the ball. That's the other thing. It felt like nobody wanted the ball at that particular point. And when you don't have Draymond out there, you don't have that extra passer, there was just a lot going on. It was very frustrating.
Draymond's getting an MRI today.
I'm very worried.
Left calf, and I am too.
I'm very worried.
And there goes my house of prime rib.
I don't left care about that. I know.
I'm looking forward to house of prime rib. Because
I might just take you there because you need a hug anyway.
No, I don't need a hug. I'm fine. It's not that. It's actually, these are the shows that I'm built for because there's going to be a lot of blowback on everything. I'm built for this.
And you're doing great.
He almost bit off Loveman's head. Me and Spadoni's head.
Well, you guys are talking about the golden at-bat. You guys want to tinker again. This is why more fans are
so excited.
Love
you
soccer.
Guys have been about baseball.
No, it's the most passionate because it's just dumb. The game's fine where it is. You just had
I would rather
be
the White Sox.
You just had a great World Series. You had a great playoff. You don't need to change anything. Now you want to swap at-bats. So you wanted to just erase the moments of Travis Ishikawa because if the golden at-bat existed, when Travis Ishikawa played, you'd never get that moment in 2014. But anyway, I digress.
But if 2002 comes around and it's Shinjo DHing in the ninth inning, wouldn't you rather go to Bonds?
Well, no, you shouldn't.
If it's Wilmer Flores check swinging against the Dodgers in game 5.
You should have won game 6.
God, I'd love to see Posey.
We should go back and forth with this all the time. All the time. So anyway.
Ain't nothing you can do about it.
Ain't nothing you can do about it. But there's a bigger issue. There's a bigger issue with the Golden State Warriors right now. And it has to do with their two stars, Draymond Green and Stephen Curry. Draymond Green is going to receive an MRI today in the Bay Area. Obviously, they flew back last night. I think maybe they did a flyback last night.
What is the MRI going to be on?
His left calf. And we're going to find out what it is that is going on. It didn't, if you watch Steph very closely, he was 8 of 23 last night, 4 of 15 from the three-point line. There's some big shots down the stretch. It starts with Steph. Steph's not moving great. The bilateral knee soreness is a problem. And so that's the biggest issue right now with the Golden State Warriors is that their superstars are getting older right in front of our eyes. And when I sit there with Fezzi and I sit there with Bully and watching this league for a long, long time, old guys, you start to see the nagging injuries start to pop up.
Mm-hmm.
The knee soreness, the calf strains, the hamstrings. The foot injuries. Clay's going through it right now. He just returned last night to Dallas after missing some games with plantar fasciitis. This is what happens to older players. LeBron James started to show his age. And so you could blame the kids. You could talk about the kids all you want to, trying to pick up the slack or whatnot. But the Warriors are going nowhere if their two stars are not healthy. And this is what happens. And so Steph, you can see it. He's not getting by guys as easy as he used to. He's still effective. I mean, the guy dropped a double-double yesterday, 24 points, 11 assists, 7 rebounds. The shot wasn't falling. The shots come and go. It happens. It's a make-or-miss league. But you look at the movement of Stephen Curry.
He's sluggish.
Slight downtick, and there's a little sluggish
That's
there.
The way I would describe it, sluggish.
And this thing with Draymond Green, yes, hell yeah, it's a concern.
It's alarming.
It's a concern.
So, okay. It's clear they need like a youthful or somewhat youthful in his prime stud alongside like Steph Curry. We all agree.
Not even a stud. I don't even think he's a superstar. I see somebody who fits.
Stud doesn't. I don't mean superstar. Okay. By stud. I'm just saying like a guy who can like take control of the game at times. And I thought Wiggins has been doing some of that at times. He can get a little passive, but he needs another wingman as well. Like so, I guess my frustration. Spinning off of what you're saying, which is like the old guys are getting older. Yeah. And I look at the young guy situation, and it's just perplexing to me. And just allow me to lay this out. I like Pajemski. He brings a lot to the table. But when I zoom out, I'm just baffled. I'm baffled that they have put so much into developing Pajemski at the expense, at times, of situational opportunities to play other players, when in the last 3 years, they have had zero tolerance for playing Moody, and to some degree Wiseman, and Jonathan Kuminga, when they've told me for 3 years, based on their rotations and who they've played and who they've chosen to play, like, no, we are chasing wins. We're not developing. Yet in this guy, Pajemski, they're trying to develop him, and it's costing you a couple of wins. Now, he had a good game yesterday.
Well,
overall,
I don't think he cost you the win last night.
I thought that was a huge momentum swing in the moment that he made some mistakes.
It was, but you know what? Kuminga came down and made a dunk. Pajemski got yanked out of the game. Pajemski was yanked
as he should have been
with 5:06 left, 109-103. The Warriors came down. Kuminga hits a dunk. All right, he hits a dunk. Then you go up 113-106 after Curry makes a layup with 4:03 left. So I'm going to push back on Pajemski blew the game.
I'm going to push back on that. No, I just think that there's this. My feeling when he went back in late in the fourth quarter, whatever it was, 8-9 minutes ago, I'm going like, what are we trying to prove with the Pajemski thing?
Well, he was playing well. He was playing well up until that point. I'm going to defend him on this one. The sequence that he had was awful, and he owned it. And I want to give the young kid credit. He went to that podium after Steve Kerr ripped him at the podium. He went to the podium and said, yes, I played poorly. He owned it. Now, if the overall theme is they put a lot on this guy,
that's kind of my point, yes.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's
fine.
I also think they're expecting him to do things that he's a backup point guard.
No, I agree. He's a backup point guard.
And I'm not trying to rip him.
But
like,
what point,
currently.
What choice do you have right now with these lineups? You can't start Moody next to Steph Curry because that's going to put the ball in Steph Curry's hands, and you got no other playmakers. You got nobody else to dribble jump. You know what I'm saying?
They're in a tough spot.
Moody's a knockdown. He's a shooter. He's not going to make a lot of plays for other guys right now.
But he did make a play off the dribble for GP2 on a backdoor cut. I just think that there's a – I don't know. I'm very perplexed as to what we're trying to accomplish.
But up to that point, look, Pajemski had a terrible sequence. The three-point shot against Jokic, shot clock's running down, whatever.
Oh,
Wiggins and Pajemski run down on Michael Porter Jr. because they're on Nikola Jokic in the post, and they overclosed out, and he fouled the three-point shooter. You can't do that. You cannot do that. The one-hand pass, here's my problem.
Well, Steph Steph's a Hall of Famer.
This is my problem with Pajemski, though. He throws the one-hand pass. He throws it into the 10th row. And he's still talking to the ref about this cut that Michael Porter Jr. made to the basket that he feels like he got fouled on. Pajemski has got to stop complaining to the referees. That has to stop. You're doing it all way too much. You're chirping too much. But at the same time, I'm looking at Pods, and you know what? You know what? Pods is playing okay. He played okay yesterday.
No, he did.
He played okay
he
into
did,
that
but
point.
I thought that,
but that sequence is tough. However, you're up 6 in that sequence. And you're able to stabilize the game because you got a great dunk for Kuminga. You went back up 8. You got a great layup for Stephen Curry. You went back up 7, and you were able to stabilize the game. And you know what happened? 113-106. 3:32 left. Buddy Hield is wide open on the wing.
No doubt.
Wide open.
Oh, my God.
And he missed a three-pointer wide up to go up 10.
And they were cooking him on defense.
Don't tell me. You can call all you want to. 888-957-9570. And you can scream to the high heavens that Pajemski blew that game.
I didn't see it like that. I think it's the overall arc of, this is the feeling I have after 2 months this year. Every time Moody goes in, I feel like he's contributing. There's some positives.
Right.
And there are games where he's clearly cooking. And we're like actively trying to find a way to get him on the bench. Simultaneously, it feels like Pajemski will be struggling at times, and we're actively finding a way to get him going. And that, to me, it's a disconnected thought process. I'm perplexed as to why, one, we have to get going, and the other one, we are looking for reasons to put on the bench.
Well, right
now, I just don't. And I know they have different skill sets. Your point is well taken, because what the team needs right now is another ball handler.
They need a ball handler.
I agree with you.
What you brought up, playmaker and stud, and my head goes right away to Jordan Poole.
I called Guru last night. I said, I want Jordan Poole back on this team.
You're not getting Jordan Poole back.
But ain't nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, I don't think Jordan Poole wants to come back, nor does his father. Shout out to those watching on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. This segment is brought to you by Go to Safe Service of the Bay Area for three generations. When we succeed, when you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. Excuse me there. Mike Florio, Festus Azili is going to join us a little bit later. I have details on that on the other side. And that's coming up brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit their expert technicians to check fluids, tire pressures, windshield wipers, batteries, and much, much more. Safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. Bay Area Oil Change.
Now Pajemski gets Jokic with five on the clock, steps out for a three look, it's up and no good, and the rebound to Gordon. Pajemski has struggled from three this year. He's fronting now Jokic. Porter Jr. with a shot, it's up and good, and the Warriors fouled him. Pajemski with the foul.
Bay Area, it's Brandon Pajemski. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonta Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. You better hit those breaks, Bonta.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Right now, Pajemski shooting 20.6% from the three-point line, but I thought he was solid overall last night. I know it's hard to say. It's hard to say, Warrior fans.
Was,
I get it.
He
I
was
get
solid.
It. 6 of 11, 0 for 3 from 3, but he had the 4 assists. 4 rebounds. He had 2 turnovers, including that egregious one where he throws it into the 10th row, 13 points. But the foul on Michael Porter Jr., you can't do that. You just can't. You can't in that situation. And Steve Kerr yanked him. And then Shasky, he said this. We're going to get to the calls. 888-957-9570. We got the future focus. We got some heavy hitters on the line here. But here's Steve Kerr. I want you to respond to this. Because I was like, wow. As much as people say, oh, man, Steve Kerr, Pajemski, Steve Kerr favorite, Steve Kerr went to the podium and said this about Pods.
So Pods a hell of a player, but he needs to, and I've told him this, he needs to be a smart player. He's one of our guys who's capable of making really good decisions. He had a lob when we were up 12 in the late second quarter that was, frankly, insane. It's a 5-on-4. He just... keep hitting singles, throw the ball to the open guy. He had the same play last week against Brooklyn where he tried to throw a lob over his shoulder. He cannot be that guy, and he can't foul jump shooters. So I love Brandon. He's a hell of a player. He's got a hell of a future ahead of him. But I hope he watches this clip right now of me talking because he needs to hear it. He's got to be a smart, tough, great decision maker, and he's very capable of it, but that's his next step.
Wow.
Yeah.
Green Pots.
Well, I mean, during the game, I think it was the second quarter, when he fouled that first jump shooter, he was like just reaming him during the free throws. And then on the sequence that he's talking about, like, they strip Jokic, or I think it's he strips Jokic. He's coming up court. He's got TJD to the left. I don't know if it's an easy layup, but he's got him. And he, like, crashes into three guys. They clearly have numbers, meaning they're up either 4-on-3 or maybe it's 4-on-5. I don't know. 5-on-4, excuse me. But Jokic is way camping back on the other end. I mean, he's just pitching a tent. He's so far back. And he just throws it up into no man's land. And then they intercept it, and they throw it down. And it is a big sequence because you're going to go up 12 if you can score a basket. Instead, it's down to 8. And to your point, it's like the end of that second quarter and then the end of a game. Like, all these little 2 and 4 and 5-point swings, they all add up.
You know, it was a collapse last night. And
no, he's not alone, though.
He's not alone.
He's
and even
not.
On our post-game show, we had technical difficulties in the A block where the cameras went out, the technology went out. It was like, whoa, maybe everybody's collapsing around here. But the first half run, you cannot overlook that. It's 54-42. They are rolling. Denver's out of sorts, out of mind. Yeah. And you give up a 15-3 run to go into the locker room. You should have been out of. You gotta hold leads.
I know.
This is the same situation as last year where the team is different, yet you're blowing double-digit leads. This is the third time in the last week that you've done it. It's just got to stop. You got to stop the bleeding.
I thought in the third quarter, late third quarter or into the fourth, Denver hit some late shot clock threes and some really good buck. Like, they had some really nice shots. That sounds like you got to hit shots.
But the Warriors didn't help themselves.
No doubt. No doubt.
They turned the ball over 8 times in the third quarter.
No doubt.
So
what's the guy with the braids for? Not Gordon. The other. Strawther.
Strawther, the 3-point shooter.
He hit a couple of threes. I mean, he looked good. And it's just and then Jamal Murray late in the game. I thought Kuminga was going to have an easy baseline dunk.
Great play.
And it was an incredible play by Jamal Murray to strip him.
Let's go. The problem with Pods. As we talk about Pods, we're going to go to Nick and Saddle. Say the problem with Pods is we got the future focus. the problem I have with Pods right now, not necessarily, yeah, sure, he forces some situations and the sequence drove me crazy as well as everybody else. But to me, it's the constant chirping to the referees.
Okay.
It's the constant chirping to the referees. Look, it's one thing for Draymond to do it. It's one thing for a second-year pro to do it. And you turn the ball over and you're looking at the ref. I don't even know what he's talking about. We've got to play basketball.
You know,
we've got to play ball. We got to stop chirping at these guys, man. Let's get to Nick Asselze. Nick Asselze, talk to me.
Dude, you guys, it's breathtaking how on point you are today. From Podjenski talking to the refs to giving up leads, it's amazing. Look, next to my son being healthy and happy, all I want is a fifth ring for Steph so we can have an authentic discussion that he is on the level of Magic Johnson. And that is not going to happen because I tell you right now, we have just a bunch of guys and Steph Curry at 36 years old and hurt. We need to get another stud. I'm willing to give up everyone except Draymond and Curry to do that. Now, I've coached at the JUCO level, high school varsity basketball, and my 9-year-old kid at the Y. My team never will give up a double-digit lead with 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. I lay this partly on Kerr. He needs to stop these momentums with timeouts. And this is the Brooklyn game, the San Antonio game, and this game. We should be 3-2 after these five games. It's unacceptable, man. Now, Kerr was right on point in the press conference calling out Potts, and as a Santa Clara grad, Potts stopped talking to the refs. It's driving me crazy, boys. What is going on here? Help me! I'm going crazy!
Well, what would you tell me? Should they run sets down a stretch? You're a former coach. I want to see more sets instead of the motion offense at times. Maybe they are running sets, and I'm not seeing it, but it just feels like they need to make the simple play down the stretch. You can't blow an 11-point lead with 6 minutes of change. Hell, you had a 7-point lead, Nick, with 3 minutes of change. 7-point lead, 3 minutes of change. I know it's not a lot in the NBA, but you stabilize a game after Pods' miscues. You stabilize the situation. You did. You yanked Pods. He was not a factor in the last 5 minutes because he wasn't playing. The problem is our superstars are getting older.
Well, there's no doubt.
Our problem is Draymond's got a left calf soreness, and Steph is not moving around great like he is with that knee sore, with the knee soreness. Now, he could get by a couple times. He still drops a double-double because he's great, 24-11. But that's the overall, the long-term view here, as we're 20 games into the season. How the hell are we going to make it through the next 62 with Dre and Steph? How? They've already tried to manage their minutes. Did you know, going into last night, not one player on the Warriors was averaging 30 minutes a game. Not one player on the Warriors was averaging 30 minutes a game. So they tried to manage their minutes with all the depth and the 13 players, the strength and numbers and all that. And here we are 20 games in. We have a very important MRI today with Draymond Green, and Stephen Curry is dealing with bilateral knee soreness. It starts with them. And if they're not right, then we could complain and cry until we're blue in the face about Pods and Kuminga and Booty and Wiggins. But it's not going to operate at a high level if those two guys are not functioning at a high level and they're healthy. If they're not healthy, this team's going to go awry very quickly.
I have a comp that I want to talk about when it comes to like some of the things that the owner said about Brock Purdy and what the owner said about Brandon Podziemski, and you're almost doing a disservice. I understand you want to hype guys up and you want to do stuff, but like it's not fair because you're putting unrealistic expectations on their plate when a young player has enough things that they're juggling.
All right, let's get to this.
Let's focus on the Dubs' future. Warriors Future Focus is presented by Peralta Community College District with Laney, Berkeley City, Merritt, and the College of Alameda.
All right, this morning we focus on Moses Moody, who is always ready. And last night he readily dropped 13 points off the bench in the second half, 8 in the fourth quarter, including this three-pointer.
Peyton, hand off Moody. Moody takes a three right side. Poe goes that one up and in. Golden State. Now leading by 10, 104-94. The Warrior bench is up right now.
Great call by Tim Roy. Even fits on the television. Moody! Oh, boy, if he can hit that, now we're cooking. He was rolling. That was Warriors Future Focus. Just like we love the future of the Dubs, Peralta Community College District encourages you to love your future, too. Go to peralta.edu and apply today. Warriors have lost 5 games in a row. They've lost 8 straight to Denver. And now over the next 4, it does not get easier, folks. As the Warriors are 12-8 right now, and they've dropped to 7th place in the Western Conference. They play Houston on Thursday, Minnesota Friday, Minnesota Sunday, and then Houston in a knockout stage in Emirates NBA Cup. And they have to travel to Houston because they didn't take care of business yesterday. So they blew the home game eight for the knockout straight? Stage.
The Rockets coming out to play.
They've lost eight straight.
Draymond, there was like a picture, I don't know, it was all over the internet. The meme of Draymond just befuddled at the end of that game, and that was every Warrior fan.
We're all befuddled. Oscar in Stockton, Rob in San Bruno. We're going to get to y'all. 888-957-9570.
Call up Jordan Poole. Can you book him?
Wrong. Oh, yeah, please.
I would like to talk about Jordan Poole.
By the way, J Squared is photographer. I ran into him on Thanksgiving morning at Molly Stone's, man. He's doing great. Told me JP was doing great. But that ship has sailed.
Why can't it come back in harbor in the bay?
That ship has sailed. It's not coming back. He's on PJs now. He doesn't take boats. More coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking. Now we're crying for Jordan Poole back with no
I never wanted him to leave.
This fish is stinking from the head up.
It's Steve Kerr. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Monte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. You better hit those brakes, Monte.
Trying, coach. But it's a hard time right now in the Bay Area.
Not for the Sharks.
No, that's it.
Everybody
wants to talk Sharks. I know. I see Ted Raby walking around the studio.
I was watching Ted Raby.
Ted Raby and my boy Allen, they're sitting there just, they're smiling ear to ear. They've won, what, four or five, three or four or whatnot?
Eklund.
The Sharks may be the next team to bring some promise to the Bay Area, man.
And they got a defenseman in the minor leagues killing it.
Mike Greer, the GM of the Sharks, man, is doing a hell of a job. They gutted this thing, and they got the fans right behind them. So some people want us to talk Sharks hockey. Now, I didn't watch the game yesterday because I was locked in on the Warriors and we're in the same studio. But everybody's, even David Teller around there was wearing a Sharks shirt because it's Lakers stink. So we got nothing here.
Celebrini was just named Rookie of the Month.
No, I know. We mentioned that yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Pretty cool thing to mention.
Damn,
it's, sorry, you know, this one of the year.
Actually, you bring up Macklin Celebrini. Like, one thing, again, I don't follow all of the coverage around the team as heavily as diehard Sharks fans, but we all know the guy is, like, number one overall pick and considered by many people to be a phenom, right? Like, that's what people say. But I think what you say outwardly as an organization, I do think it's really important. You don't want to put too much on someone. And I think this is a cautionary tale for the San Francisco Giants right now when it comes to Bryce Eldridge. Like, we hyped up Luciano for so long, he didn't even come close to delivering, and I don't think he'll ever will. When Joe Lacob came out and was talking about Pajemski, I started thinking about what Jed York did with Brock Purdy. Hey, he's going to reset the quarterback market. Like, you just don't need to say that. I just think you're putting things into the ethos that are unnecessary in terms of expectations for your own player. The games are hard enough. Being a professional and being an elite professional, it is so difficult. And I think for a lot of these young people, you know, less is more. And when your owner is coming out and saying certain things, I know their intention is not to put more on their plate. They're just, like, genuinely excited for the player. But I think what's really difficult for Warrior fans to grasp is that there's a lot of speculation about trades that woulda, coulda, shoulda been made, whether real or not. They think that Pods was a sticking point in deals, which I think that's
I will tell you that it wasn't.
Okay, but you get where I'm going.
It wasn't a sticking point.
But people assume they are, and then they hear the owner say, we think he can be an all-star, and he's playing on the USA, like, rookie team that goes up against the other team, and it's like, we're putting a lot on this guy's plate, and then he comes out, and he's got a flat couple of months, and I feel bad for the guy. Like, I do. I feel bad because I feel like the expectations are out of whack.
Not to mention, too, Cooper Flagg coming out saying he was my favorite teammate down there in Las Vegas.
It's a lot.
And that's Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
Not to mention, you know, the deals that you're talking about, the Utah Jazz, Lowry marketed, where some people deemed it, Pods was deemed untouchable. Well, Danny Ainge, from what I know and what I gathered, and you could take me for my word or not, but from what I've gathered, is that Utah wanted a boatload of picks. Mm-hmm. And right now the Warriors are like, let's chill a little bit.
Yeah.
I could give you a bunch of first-round picks of pick swaps for Lowry marketing and these assets. We got to. Danny Ainge was doing too much, so don't buy the hype. I don't think anybody, when you have Steph Curry and he's trying to win that fifth ring, as Nick of San Jose wants, and everybody else wants Steph to win this fifth ring, And we all want it. We all want the Warriors to win. I don't think anything is untouchable in the NBA. The only untouchable really on this Warriors team, I think, is Stephen Curry and probably Draymond Green. That's it. That's it.
But you can see, and I'm expressing my empathy toward Podziemski because a lot of these things are out of his control. He can't control what other people are saying about him and all that. And what I'm saying is I do believe he's become a lightning rod for the fans. And I know at times I'm questioning, like, man, what? Like, I know they have a reason why they want to play him. And they know more about basketball than me. And they want to get that other ball handler out there. I just think that they're expecting him to fulfill a role that I don't think he's good enough to fulfill.
What role is that?
Well, like, to me, playing him, and I know he's starting at the two, but he's kind of like the pseudo point guard. I don't think right now he's knocking down shots and honoring the spacing that's required.
Right.
Even though he fulfills the ball handling requirement that they're looking for, I don't think he's fulfilling the spacing requirement of knocking down shots. Simultaneously, defensively, I don't think he's that good.
Nah.
Right, there, as an individual defender. And I think defense opposite Steph Curry is as important as that ball handler is. And I know that Steph's injury right now is making this highlighted because he's not as good and he can't move as well. And so this is all like coming to a head here. And then I think overarching, and I'm long-winded and I apologize, but like overarching, it's like, well, hold up, man. Like, you guys are giving this guy this long freeway, and this is just my casual opinion. Podziemski's getting this long freeway. Yet, any moment Moody or Kuminga has made a mistake, it's like, go right back to the bench. You're not good enough. We don't think you can do X, Y, and Z. Whereas, I'm watching Podziemski, I'm like, why is he giving this long leeway? So it's just, there's a disconnect, and I think that creates more frustration for Warrior fans. And then the team's losing.
Well, I would push back on the leeway a little bit, because we did see Podziemski, you know, he had a stretch here, started with Dallas where he played 17 minutes. Plays 28 against Memphis. All right, cool. Then he goes back down to 16 against the Clippers down in L.A. Then he only gets 15 minutes against the Atlanta Hawks and a blowout win. 15 minutes and a blowout win. Gets 21 against the Pelicans. Gets 16 against the Spurs. All right, now he gets bumped up to 23 against Brooklyn, and he was part of the lineup that kind of blew that lead, right? Now he went back up to 30 against OKC, and you had trouble against OKC. Obviously, you didn't have Stephen Curry in that basketball game. So I think the minutes has fluctuated a little bit as Steve Kerr tries to find the right combination. But it just feels like for the fans, with all that talk in the offseason about Podziemski, because you may have a Moody stance, and a lot of Moody stands, and I say stands because there's a lot of people who just want Moody to play. And I get Moody wants to play, and he played desperate yesterday, and I think he does deserve some minutes here. There's no way Moody should play 3 minutes against Phoenix and watch Pat Spencer get 9 minutes.
In year four.
No disrespect towards Pat Spencer, but there's no way Moody should have to look up and see, damn, I'm only getting 3 minutes and Pat's getting nine? What the hell is going on around here? What can I do to play? And Kuminga's had those conversations with Steve Kerr. What can I do to play? What can I do to stay on the court? Now, Kuminga playing a four yesterday? Open my eyes up a little bit.
No, I thought
he was
great.
Able to attack.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Podziemski, look, as much as polarizing as he is, I'll give the young man credit. I watched Deebo Samuel. I don't even know. Did Deebo talk after the Buffalo game?
I don't know.
I don't think Deebo talked after the Buffalo game. Well, I watched Deebo Samuel decline questions after the Green Bay game. He's one of the captains on the football team. Well, George Kittle went to the podium.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Warner goes to the podium. Brock Purdy's going to the podium. Deebo Samuel didn't. Now, I look at the Golden State Warriors. And Pods, you may say you don't want to hear from him, but last night he owned it. He owned it last night, which I give the second-year pro some credit for.
I mean, I agree. I played poorly defensively. I think there was just a point defensively where I was just kind of pressing too much and trying too hard. You know, I think one of the turnovers I had where I threw it to Trace, I could have bounced it to him earlier. The other one, the Wiggs, just kind of slipped out of my hands when I was throwing it. Like I said, I think I was just trying too hard to defensively just kind of stick with Michael Porter and ended up fouling him twice. You know, definitely not like me and definitely, you know, something I'm not proud of. And I know, you know, when I kind of made the runs, it's because of me either fouling or turning the ball over. So I know I'm going to be better. I know I'm going to be better. And, you know, it just sucks we didn't win.
Now, here's Kerr. Here's Kerr about Pods. And I didn't see this coming. because he was hot about Christian Brown, and we didn't even get it to the timeout or the fault at the end of the game, but I felt like the game was over at that point. However, if he is called, if he does call that timeout, and the referee says, you know what, you called a timeout, you don't have any timeouts, it's a technical foul for the Golden State Warriors, a free throw, and possession of the basketball.
You never know.
So you never know what could happen. But here's Kerr after the game about Brandon Podziemski.
So Pod's a hell of a player, but he needs to, and I've told him this, he needs to be a smart player. You know, he's one of our guys who's capable of making really good decisions. He had a lob when we were up 12 in the late second quarter that was frankly insane. It's a 5-on-4. He just keep hitting singles, throw the ball to the open guy. He had the same play last week against Brooklyn where he tried to throw a lob over his shoulder. He cannot be that guy, you know, and he can't foul jump shooters. So I love Brandon. He's a hell of a player. He's got a hell of a future ahead of him. But I hope he watches this clip right now, me talking, because he needs to hear it. He's got to be a smart, tough, great decision maker, and he's very capable.